Okay. All right. So I think I'm not going to chazer everything we've discussed until now, and we're not going to go through all these makoros totally. But we started with the problem of Tzadik V'Ra'lo, or Rosh V'Tovo for that matter. For some reason, most of us are more upset by Tzadik V'Ra'lo, although philosophically, you know, they're probably equally problematic. And, you know, we saw the Havminim Chavri Iyo, that everyone in Olam Hazeh gets what they deserve, and how Rabbeinu Tam rescued that a little within the Shita the Chachamim. He thought, really, there could be a Shita in Shas, that everyone gets what they deserve if you look at their life in general, even though not necessarily every day or two, or week, or even month. We saw a mainstream shot, which already starts with the Gemara in Brachos Dav Zayin, which is that everyone gets what they deserve if you look at all the olamos together, but the tzaddikim have to pay off their debts in this world, so they'll get eternal bliss in the next world, and Rishon vice versa, and that's what you meant, Tzadik V'Ra'lo. That was a very, very popular shot, and we saw that, even though the Gemara said there's something called Yisurin Shalava, which seems to mean, no, you get Yisurin not as a punishment, that somehow suffering is really not a punishment at all, the Ramban, the Rambam denied that, the Ramban says that really means for Avir for Shogig, but many Rishonim held no. There's another reason why it's Tzadik Dev Ra'lo, at least in certain kinds of Ra'lo, there's something called Yisurin Shalava, and that really sometimes it's good to suffer. You know, very old-fashioned kind of perspective. And we saw different shitas as to why it's really good to suffer. Now I think I said we're going to pick up something a little more radical, which is mucker number 13. Now, if I had cheated and hadn't put in the first two words of 13, and I would ask you, you know, don't read the first two words of mucker number 13. And tell me what denomination rabbi you think is speaking in this gemara, if you wouldn't know who it was. Right, you would probably guess. No, not at all. Bechlal not. Number 13. Skipping the first two words. Chaye bnei mazoni lo b'zchusa talimilsa el b'mazla talimilsa. Says your life and your kid, like the length of your life and your kids and your parnasa. Now, if you think about it, it only says three things, but that's pretty much all of Olam Hazeh, right? Like, you know, how long you live and how healthy you are, and like how your kid's family does. And your parnasa, and what's left. Okay, so we guess leaves out how your sports team does in the playoffs. But basically, like, everything important about your physical life has nothing to do with zechuyos. It's just a matter of mazel. It's just a matter of luck. Nothing to do with zechuyos. What's the proof? The Rav and Rav Chisda, Rav Rabban and Tzaddiki Havu, Mar Matzvi Yosef Mishra, Mar Tzvi Yosef Mishra. Rav and Rav Chisda were both tremendous tzaddikim out of Madrega that, you know, it's hard for us to even imagine, right? Either one of them, as soon as they davened in a drought, it would start raining. That was a very high madriga. But Rav Chisda, Chayatish, and Tartinshin, Rav Chayarban, they're slightly different yourselves and all the Rishonim here, but it's all the same idea. Rav Chisda lived 92 years, and Rav died at 40, which is pretty young. To you guys, it seems old, but to me, that's pretty young. But Rav Chisda, Shitim Hiluli, and Rav Chisda's out to meet 60 chasanas. It must mean he had a lot of kids and so a lot of nuts. And then be Rabba Sheet and Tifli. Rabba buried 60 kids. And, I mean, the numbers might be exaggeration, but the point is still valid. Be Rav Chisda, Smidl, Kalimel, Mitzvi. Rav Chisda, they would give fine flour, right? Nowadays, you would say, they would give filet mignon to the dogs, and no one would miss it. Be Rabba, Naman, Sari, and Shivalom, Mashakach. And in Rabba's house, they would look for dog food for the people, right? Naman, Sari is like first of Machal Behema, barley bread. And they didn't even have enough. So, basically, Rav Chisda lived a long life, had lots of kids, a lot of nachas, and had more money than he knew what to do with. And Rava, who was exactly as big as Tzaddik, died young, and all his kids died, and he lived in abject poverty. So, what do we conclude from this? That it's just a matter of luck and has nothing to do with your actions. Okay, now, if I had like quoted you this in English or something, you'd probably say it's like, you know, from some reform rabbi. So there is a reform rabbi who wrote a book like this. Why do bad things happen to good people? And he says, because you know what? Like, you know, God's not really able to stop them from happening. That's just life. So this sounds very, now Gashol, he doesn't say Hashem's not able. Hashem's able to do anything. But this is Rava talking, and he says that it's just a matter of luck, nothing to do with Hashgacha process at all. This is a very radical perspective, much more radical. You know, even if say you search Shalava, okay, it's funny that sometimes Hashem likes you, so he makes you suffer, but all because Hashem decides that this is what you deserve. It's just, you know, might not have been what we expected. Here it's saying, nothing to do with Hashem. That's just mazel. Nowadays you'd say mazel is luck. In those days, mazel also meant luck. It's just that the way they understood how luck worked is that if you were born and certain stars were in the sky, that would be your luck. This is a rather radical position. If you look at the Meiri number 17, he's very uncomfortable with it. He says, he starts with the previous line in the Gemara. Interesting, by the way, this is really a previous line of the Gemara. Now, Yitzchak, everyone knows a Misa Tzadikim Mechaper. What's the rationalist explanation of why Misa Tzadikim is Mechaper? He says very poshut, because whenever someone dies, I don't know if you know, you've ever been, I hope not, to a funeral, somebody died young, let's say. And it really makes you think about life more deeply. And even if you're at a funeral, so if a tzaddik dies, then everyone learns mussar from that. Everyone thinks about their life and their priorities and tries to improve themselves. That's, he says, that doesn't mean it's good that misa tzadikim mechaper, that makes people do tshuva and think about and do a cheshbon nefesh. But the kol shekein also shinui misa misa almost chayos v'shus or aleim. Now we're starting the middle of the fourth line. Shakol derech gemul v'onish mitzvah yisbarach. Everything is schar v'onish from Hashem. Asher ofanei mishpatonu lo'ei menu. Of course, the exact ways in which he does his justice, we can't figure out. That's why it looks funny sometimes. But everything's chayav unesh. Ula olam in yinna adam and arachman asfila, and never give up on davening to Hashem. The yad miyidish asfila tzedakos yachricho mazal. You should know that davening and doing tzedakos, meaning mitzvos, always beats any mazal. Marechas atolada in any system of how you were born. B'chol davered anything. Meaning, nothing's mazal. It's all from Hashem based on what you deserve. The al yachosh l'masha amru kan chayiv nim zon lab z'chus dal yisol mazla. And don't pay any attention to this Gemara where Rava says, yeah, to us, Rava is, any name of someone mentioned in one of the Chacham mentioned in Gemara is pretty big for us, but Rava is about the biggest name you get. It says, don't pay any attention to this line in the Gemara. Ki hu maimer yachin, it's a das yachin. Look, yeah, this is a das yachin. The Gemara didn't mean to say this is a serious, contender for your personal hashkafa. It's just a das yachin. It is impossible for any religion to tolerate this opinion in any way. Meaning, this is a religiously impossible opinion. Don't pay any attention to it. Okay, bit of a radical thing to say about Rava. He's part of the compulsion of Maimar, and I'll prove to you how weak this statement is. Because the Mar explained why he said such a drastic, improper statement. He saw Rav and Chisda were equal in his eyes. He thought Rav and Rav Chisda were equal. Rav Chisda chayat did sheet and shenev Rav chayat avron shenev be Rav Chisda sheet and lulu be Rav sheet and tifli be Rav Chisda nema smigo lekalu be Rav nema tsari mo pshtaka. He ne shloi vilu zama shuravi had their sidur. The only reason Rav said this didn't make sense to him. It wasn't with Sudar. He didn't understand why they were treated differently. Because he should be Rav the fact people are MS. And that's caused many people to doubt the truth. Koshinomo vinim, as the intelligent people know. Says Rava, in a moment of weakness, didn't understand why Rav and Chisda were treated differently and didn't realize that sometimes the ways of Hashem's justice are very, very complex and we can't fathom them. And so instead of just having faith that it was all Schar V'Onesh, she said once that it's all a matter of mazel, but totally ignored that it's obviously impossible to believe this statement. So the Meiri says, don't believe such radical statements, even if they're in Shas.
It's possible that maybe this is what the Meiri is saying, is that Rava was saying, from our perspective, this is the way it looks. And since we can't tell, it looks like everything is mazel, but not
real. I mean, the Meiri seems to just be saying it's a very weak statement, in a das yachid. But maybe if you wanted to, I don't know. I guess theoretically.
So according to the Meiri, why did the Gemara say Velohi and then bring like five people to argue?
It's an excellent question. The Meiri is a very dachuk pshat in the Gemara, I admit. But on the other hand, the Gemara is a very dachuk pshat in life, right? So the Meiri is saying that I can't believe that life is a matter of mazel. Look at all of Shas. Look at all of Tanakh. Obviously, it's Chayav Onesh. The Ran actually has one daya where he uses a more traditional method of getting rid of a Gemara he doesn't like. The Ran's second daya. Anyone know what's the traditional way to get rid of a Gemara you don't like?
Change
the Kirsa. No, that's... what? Say that it's Machlokas, and we pass like the other side of Machlokas, right? That's a much... So that's the second day on the Rana. If you look at the end of 16, he says, what? No, 16 at the end of the second last line. You could say that Rav is following the man of Yesh Mazel Yisrael, the Rav is really Hachin, and which Aval Hot Time like another A Mazel Shulmi Sefer Shabbos. The end of Sefer Shabbos, we pass A Mazel Yisrael. So he says, ah, there's a machlokes whether Yesh or A Mazel Yisrael. So Rav obviously holds the Yesh, but we pass an A, and therefore we don't have to pass like Rav, and we can sort of respectfully disagree Rav because we know that he is man of Yesh Mazel Yisrael, and we pass an A Mazel Yisrael. So he also, in the end, comes down to the same thing. It says Rav is obviously not true. However, many Rishonim take Rava more seriously because he says it straight out there. So let's look at 14 Tosfos, right? Alatar, right? El of Mazel Tazim Bilsia, the Hikshav of Tosfos, Hadar Musof Shabbos, in Mazel Yisrael, right? So Tosfos says he assumes that it's after Bakodesh, Tosfos. He doesn't like to say everything about Chlos and Sivyas. He likes to answer, he quite has the theory and answer it up. So he says, don't we hold in Mazel Yisrael? Tos says, yeah, really, the answer is complicated. It's true that it's all Skarva Unish and Ein Mazel Yisrael, and it's true that Lav Beskus is telling Milsa, El Mazel telling Milsa. And sometimes the Mazel changes, like in the Gemara of Ein Mazel Yisrael, like with Avram, etc. And sometimes Zechuyas don't change the mazel, like the story in Times, the legend of Das, right, that the whole world was only miskayim through his zechus. I don't know if that means it was or it could have been. And he only got a kav of boxer, that's carrots, to eat every week. He was totally poor. And he was discussing it. So Hashem once, Hashem says, well, if you want, I can destroy the whole world and, like, create it again and start from scratch, and maybe, like, you'll be born under a mazel of having money. But in this world, the mazel is not going to change, and it doesn't really matter how big of a tzaddik you are. So we see that, he says, sometimes mazel changes, sometimes mazel doesn't, and it's not a stira, it's really, it depends. It doesn't totally explain what it depends on. A good question. What do you mean by psak and machshava? Lechora, what I mean by psak and machshava is just that that's what we think is true. Just a matter of our intellectual opinion. What you mean by psak and halacha is much more complicated, because lechora psak and halacha is not merely a matter of intellectual opinion. It's a matter of authority. Right? But lechora psak and machshava is just a matter of intellectual opinion. So what does it mean, pasuk against Rava? I don't think it necessarily means that it has some sort of like authoritative weight. I don't think it means that if you argue to be a Zakin Mamre, but it means that this is what we think is true. Right? I think. So Tosos clearly thinks that you can get this to work, but doesn't explain exactly how. The Ritz and the Chavisha Ran here try to explain a little more. 15. La Bezchus Italia Milsa, Perish. Chas v'shalom she told mazel gamri. Chas v'shalom, like Tosa says, it's not so posh. So it's very interesting saying chas v'shalom. Also, everyone has trouble with this gemara. And those are the most understated. Chas v'shalom that the gemara really means that it's just a matter of mazel. How can we say that the kind of loving mazel yisrael? That's not what makes it a chas v'shalom. Just because there's another gemara. What makes it a chas v'shalom is ubitalta brachu klos shem Torah. Right? Then you've erased the whole Torah, all the scar of the Torah. He chayiv nimazoni explains everything, right? We're all going to go to Shul Shabbos morning, and if you really take this more literally, then you could skip the parsha, or at least the first half of the parsha, because the parsha says that your physical well-being depends on zechuyos, so it can't be. And Rava couldn't have held it. Even as Das Yachid, Rava couldn't have held it. How could Rava hold against the Chumash? Eloha governed labs chus tal yisol gamrei. What it means is that it's not what Rava meant to say is not that zechuyos don't matter, only mazel matters. It's that it's not 100% zechuyos. There's also an influence of mazel. The mazel nami ito. There's also an influence of mazel. So how do these two things work together? Ella shezchus gedolam vateles hamazel. What is he saying? He's saying this is very similar to some of the opinions we saw when we discussed hashkafa pratzah and ishtadlus. Right? He's saying that really the world works based on mazel. But a lot of people say, I mean, this the akedah. Says that great length, I think, in the beginning of Yishlach, if I'm not mistaken, he explains this in great length, expanding on this on this day. He says, the world works on mazel. what does mazel mean? So again, in their days, mazel meant astrology, right? If you were born under a certain star, then scientifically that had astrology was science in those days. Astrology wasn't a religious belief. The religious belief is God, right? Astrology is just science. Everyone knows that the stars have a physical influence on the world under them, and then religious people believe that God runs the world, and irreligious people believe it's just the secular stars. So nowadays, like, most of us don't think in terms of stars. We think in terms of science. You know, our modern day world is science, but it's the same thing philosophically, right? He says, really, the world runs based on scientific cause and effect, based on all the rules that the scientists think. There's mazel. However, if you have a big zechus, you can override the mazel, meaning the world works based on the derech hateva, right? He's assuming that there is some sort of teva here called a mazel. And what's the role of zechuyos? It's not that you start out, you know, and Hashem just treats you based on whatever zechuyos are. No, you have a mazel, and then if you have a good zechus, you can improve. If you have a lot of zechuyos, you can get better than your mazel. And if you have a lot of chiyuvim, then you get worse than your mazel. That's the thing. If you have a big zechus, you can undo the mazel. Not everyone zoche to override their mazel. You have to be a really big tzaddik to override your mazel. Therefore, even two tzaddikim won't end up the same. It depends what their mazel helps them. Someone is born with a good mazel. All they have to do is be a benuni, right? And then Hashem will leave them where they were, and they'll be the seder gomer. And someone who's born with a really bad mazel, they need tremendous achuyos to overcome that. So this is similar to a little bit of what we ended with. In our discussion of Mishnah, is really the same question. How much is based on Derech HaTeva, and how much is based on Tzchar Onesh? So the Chiddush of this Gemara here is that not everything is based on Tzchar Onesh. You start off your life, maybe you're a certain place in Derech HaTeva, right? Some people are born, whatever, I mean, you know, you could be born in there's more than this, but you could be born in, you know, your parents live in L.A. in, you know, 2003, and they're very rich, and you're very privileged, etc., and then you start with a good mazel. Or, you know, you could be, you know, in Russia, in the Pale of Settlement during, what was the name, Nicholas II or whatever. I don't know, there's so many of those are showing, it's hard to keep track of them. You know, when you're the next in line to be conscripted into the Tsar's army from the age of 12 until 43. And you start with a bad mazel. I mean, of course, even within those people, who knows? One guy has a genetic, you know, disability, you know, propensity to some terrible disease or chashon lo aleinu. Anyway, you start with a mazel, and then how does Hashem get involved in the struggle for us? It's not that there's no derech hateva. It's that if you have a good mazel, then you'll be okay unless you do really bad things, in which case Hashem takes you down. If you have a medium mazel, then I guess you can really go either way, depending on your zechuyos. If you have a really bad mazel, then you're in trouble, unless you're a really big tzaddik. And that's what happened with Rabbah and Rav Chista. Rav Chista started out with a good mazel, and he was such a tzaddik that he had everything anyone could ever want. And Rabbah must have started out with such a bad mazel that in Chami, if he was Moshe Rabbeinu, he would have overcome it. Because there are zechuyos that can overcome any mazel. But he started out with such a bad mazel that even with all his zechuyos, he didn't manage to have a normal life, and that's what Rava meant. The Chiddush Rambam says a pretty similar thing. Amar Rava v'nichai yizun la b'schus tal yimilsa el mazla perish la b'schus tal b'chut tal yimilsa el af mazal goren af pishenu hagum. He said also, Rava didn't mean there's no zechuyos. He meant it's zechuyos combined with mazal. The lekolim mishenu zechus moa lo klum. The imkain kashim is hard to Torah, right? Rava could never have meant zechuyos don't make a difference. That's against the Torah. As Horus is what we call Tocha. Elidol Mashmachim Ubd Rav Chista Rav Nimaisim in Allah. The only problem is that Rav Rav Chista make it sound like the Kuyos don't help at all. Yesh Marshim Dahaf Gomer Shein is Chos Ocher Me'ak Kol It's a Mazel El Matzil Adam and Mikdas Lo Me'ak Kol Kidar Me'in It's Harmet Vahim Aleka Hai Bibu Sheikul. Okay. So he says maybe it's that first day is that they both influence you, Mazel and Zechuyos. And he says no, but from this rather place it sounds like maybe even Kuyos influence the Mazel. They can't really turn it 180 degrees. They can just change the mazel a little. And he says, that's very radical. Maybe we don't hold like it. So in his second day, he says, maybe it is radical. So Chuyos only influence mazel a little. They can't influence it a lot. And then he says, maybe we don't hold like it. The first thing he's just saying that there are two factors involved. The mazel affects you, and the Chuyos affect you. which is similar to the Ritva, and you know, who knows, maybe that's the direction Tosos is going, as well. So we have a fundamental machlokas here in terms of the role of Ashgacha Pratis versus the role of Mazel, just the luck of having been born and running your life. Kim Meiri and the Ikalamim are in the Ran, who say that ignore Rava, you know, ignore Rava. Really, Hashem runs your life with based on Zechuyos versus the Ritva and the first day in the Ran and seemingly the Tosfos, who say, no, your life is really influenced by two things. There's a Teva of a Mazel and there's Zechuyos. And it all depends, you know, if your Mazel is really is minus 100, then you need Zechuyos of plus 101 to get anywhere. And that might be very hard. If your Mazel is plus 100, then all you need is not to ruin it by being a tremendous Rasha. Definitely.
It's not so intellectually satisfying either, though.
Because? Because why would Hashem create the world that way?
Yeah.
That is, Taka, a good question. Why would Hashem, well, you know, why would Hashem create such a world with Mazel? You know, why would Hashem create a physical world where there's a Teva and a Mazel, and he doesn't just do everything based on, you know, what he thinks you deserve?
Why should someone have to stir up so much, so far behind?
Right. So the answer is, I'm not sure. At a certain point, it's still mysterious. Can I justify exactly why Hashem created the world in the way he did? No. I could just try to figure out the best I can. I could just try to figure out the best I can how it works. The
I mean, isn't the answer all the answers we have to Teva?
Hmm?
You know, if we're saying what we're saying now, that this is really Teva, Mazel is really Teva. Whatever answers we gave them.
Exactly, which are basically the same. And basically, we're going to see the same three answers we have there, we have in terms of Tzadik Vara Lokas. If we look for a second at the Rambams here, let's skip a little to the Rambams, and we'll see how the Rambam is very, very fascinating he tricked us in a very fascinating way. If you look at 24, which we already read, he says, Hadas Hahei, Vahu Daitainu, Rosalom Torah, Seinu. Right, now I'm going to tell you the opinion of our Torah, and I'll tell you what's written in the books of Nevi'im, which most and what most Chacham believe. And then I'll tell you what some Achronim hold. And then I'll tell you what I hold. So who remembers when we learned Makor 24? What did he say that most of the Chachamim believe? That what Hashem does to you is based on what you deserve. And what did he say some Chachamim believe, but he didn't like so much? Yisurin Shalava. You could read all of Perek Yud Zayin, and he never gets to telling you what he believes. Right? You finish Perek Yud Zayin, and he never told you what he believes. Why? Because the Rambam says, not done in the word of Hukim. Now, he wrote in a very confusing way, so that not everyone can figure out everything unless they're really ma'ayin in it, because he didn't think that everyone needed to, was on a madrega, to get all this information. So, the Rambam of your Amshining, it takes only another 34 prakim. Right, the Rambam just wants to make sure that you're going to read the whole thing. It's not for, you know, just dilly-dalliers, or rather dilettantes. The Rambam wants to wait and see if you get to the end, then he'll tell you the truth. What does he actually hold? So number 25, he says, and we've mentioned this before, Vina nigla ilai iyo niflam o'yos urbis feikas yigal vosodos elokios. V'usha anafli karmiyan pirgi ashkacha, ki kvishur seichal kol bal seichal yashkacha bo. We already explained that Hashgacha is proportional to your intellectual achievement of understanding Hashem. Right? Remember, for the Rambam, the only important intellectual achievement was understanding Hashem. It says, whoever is perfect and always thinks about Hashem will always have Hashgacha. And a accomplished person who somebody stops thinking about Hashem will only get Hashgacha parts when he thinks about Hashem. But Tosh Hashgacha may be Isko. When he does business, he'll lose Hashgacha. Well, Tosh may do us to serve Mishal Yasal. He won't have a total absence of Hashgacha like someone who never knew God. Abel, Atimai, Hashgacha, he'll have less Hashgacha. And therefore he said, Mibneza, Yerali, I finally solved the problem, Tzadik Haralo, Kikol Mashatim Se'er Ra Me'rosa Olam, Minan Nevi'im, Minan Chasidim Ashleim. Anytime you see bad physical things happen to Nevi'im or perfect Chasidim, must be the bad thing happened when he forgot to think about Hashem. And proportional to how long he stopped thinking about Hashem, or how low and base was the thing he was thinking about instead, will be how great an evil befalls him. Now I've taken away the big kasha which led philosophers like Aristotle to deny hashgacha pratis. Aristotle said that no hashgacha pratis are individual people. Individual people are like individual animals. And the proof of all the kofrim who said no hashgacha pratis is that very religious spiritual people have bad things happen to them. So then now I've explained to you the secrets. The Vafil of Yidaitam, even according to their philosophy, works out. You'll have total Ashkacha process of anyone who receives the flow based on their intellectual cognition of Hashem if they try to get to it. And if you stop thinking about grasping Hashem in true logical ways and rejoicing in that understanding, if you clear out your minds and only think about Hashem and rejoice in that, then nothing bad can happen to you. You're with Hashem, Hashem's with you. When you stop thinking about Hashem, and when you separate from Hashem, Hashem separates from you. And then any evil can befall you. Because the only thing that gets you out of just bad luck and things that happen to you is this intellectual flow from Hashem. For Nidlo Tasa Idim Nachasar Atov, although he get Klal Nachasar Hu Hara, was there Yul Hashem Asheira? Okay, and then he brings proofs from the Torah. So what did the Rambam say? Just like we saw it last time, Shem Mishnablus, right? The Rambam takes this very radically and says that, right? Hashgacha Protes, Schar Va'Onesh? Of course I believe in Schar Va'Onesh. But only when you're thinking about Hashem, because there's only Hashgacha Protes when you're thinking about Hashem. So I happen to be Tadu Barabo. When they're not thinking about Hashem, they're just back to the Derech HaTeva. Right? The Me'iri and the second day of the Ran, the Me'iri and the second day of the Ran say, no, everything's a Hashgacha Pratis. No bad thing can ever happen to a Tzadik Stam to the Derech HaTeva. Right? If a bad thing happens to a Tzadik, that must be an onesh for the averus they did in this world, and mazel plays no role whatsoever. And in between, we have the Tosfos Lechora, although we're not sure exactly what means the Ritva, the first day in the Ran, who says, no, Tzad Avraham will explain by a combination of factors, right? Because you start out with certain mazel, and then you're offset that. You can move up or down based on your zechuyos. So if something bad happens to someone, it could be because they had a really bad mazel and just not enough zechuyos to make up for it. Or it could be because maybe they weren't going to have that bad thing happen, and then it's a punishment for their avirus. The Meiri says elsewhere, he says, either way, what I meant to say is this on the last Makor sheet. The Sefer Karim says elsewhere, either way, if something bad happens, you have to do a chesed and nefesh. Because if it's a punishment for your averos, you have to do a chesed and nefesh. And if it's mazel, you still have to do a chesed and nefesh. How you can add zechuyos to overcome that mazel, right? Because zechuyos will always help. So I think, you know, this is going to be similar to what we thought about last time, that lemaisa, the middle explanation probably has, a significant amount going for it, which is that you want to know why good or bad things happen to people. It's a combination of factors. Sometimes just the way they were born, the way the world works, that what was destined for them, you know, if the world would just run its own course. But that can always be changed up or down by zechuyos. So when you see something bad happen, something you never know, you always know if you're better, you can always improve things. But you never know how to objectively judge someone, because you don't know if they really just had a bad mazel, they were pretty good, just not good enough to override that. Or, like Rabba, or maybe they had a good mazel and they ruined by being such a big Russia, or anything in between.
Yeah, how would the Rambam explain people dying of Yisrael? Rabbi Akiva died of Kiddush Hashem.
How would the Rambam explain why Rabbi Akiva died of Kiddush Hashem? Meaning, if Akiva was really in such a high madriga, then how could he have been killed, right? Wouldn't he have had Hashgacha Pratis? So I'm not sure. What? He could say that maybe very people wanted to do this mitzvah. Or he might say that maybe like the moment Rabbi Akiva was caught, you know, was the time when he stopped thinking about Hashem. And that's why he's caught by the Romans. Okay, then he said Shema Yisrael again, but he was already it was already too late. Well, it's funny because Hashem can save him when it's too late also. It's a good question. It's a good question. Unless the Rambam would have to make the Okimta that Rabbi Akiva stopped thinking about Hashem, and then the Romans came and caught him. And you know, and at that point, once he was already caught by the Romans, you know, Hashem didn't want to do an Ace Nigla and make an escape. But I'm not sure. It's a good question. It's a good kasha. Okay, what I want to come back to next week is the last few pages here. Have we discussed the Rav at all this year? No. Okay. We have to figure out what the Rav is all about. And one of the topics that the Rav did write about a lot is Tzadik HaRalo, that bothered him. That's pages 9 through 12. If you're interested, by the way, just for a Shabbos reading, there's a Sefer Yikarim, page 5 to 6, which is a very fascinating summary. Next week, I want to come back to page 9 to 12 and see what the Rav has to say about Tzadik HaRalo, which is going to be different than everyone else. And also use that to explain what the Rav has to say about everything, what the Rav's general approach to what the Rav's general approach to philosophy was, and to Hashka, and the Rav's general Hashkafa. So we'll do that in Meretz Hashem next week.